Well, it's good to be together. It is good to know that we have a God we can count on, a God that soothes and heals and makes a difference for everything that goes on in our lives. Now, in some ways, this has seemed to me the longest week I've experienced in years. From the capital of the United States, we've witnessed events that many of us thought would be impossible or out of the question in our land. What has been called an insurrection against our Congress of elected public servants. It has for me been very troubling, maybe I should say distressing, as it seems there's been an attack on the foundations of the Republic. It looked almost like the beginnings of a civil war. And we're reminded that there's nothing civil about war. You and I have been part of the story in one way or another. This is the land of our hopes and our dreams and has offered us some measure of security and prosperity in different measure, however, based upon the color of our skin or our language or our ethnic identity. In our world and in our nation, in our state, in our counties, in our cities, and in our neighborhoods, well, in all of those places, we need the healing power and presence of God in the lives and hearts and minds of our leaders, our population, our neighbors. In this week, political and social challenges are only a small part of the story. For in these past 7 days, more than 25,000 people have died from COVID-19 in the United States. 25,000? For me, that's about 20 times the total population of the town I grew up in. Just yesterday, more than three times as many people died from the pandemic in the United States compared to the total number of people as lived in my hometown of Rainier, Oregon, when I was growing up in the middle of the last century. Boy, that makes me sound old, doesn't it? If I bring it down to the state level, in California, the average number of deaths per day would have completely wiped out my hometown every 3 days this week. It only took 1 week for as many to die from COVID-19 in Los Angeles County alone as the total population of the hometown I remember. When I last lived in Rainier, Oregon, the population sign on the outskirts of town read 1,204. Is there any doubt that we need more of God than ever before in our lifetimes? Now, I was born white in a family with a college education in Oregon, so I have known mostly privilege. My experience is not like all of you, but I know that I need God in my life. And more of God than ever. After a week like this, which has incited fear and anger and despair, driving many to prayer but most to blame, I was relieved when God led me to the worship songs of hope and peace that we just sang. So now it's time to look back to Scripture and find how God wants to be at work in our lives. We all need a fresh experience with the world changer, Jesus Christ, through the fullness of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So let's look again at the experience of the coming of God and of grace for all people. The Gospel of Mark begins with the announcement of John the Baptizer, who came as the promised messenger of the prophets Isaiah and Malachi, a voice in the wilderness of culture, the wilderness of religion, the wilderness of politics, a voice of God crying out through the prophet and forerunner of the Messiah. John the Baptizer, whom we find out in Luke's gospel was a cousin of Jesus, is one who is a voice for reformation. We'll catch his coming to the scene, on the scene in Mark chapter 1, verse 4, where it says, John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Well, John's message, basically, as it's listed in Luke and John, is repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In some ways, like some cartoonish images that we have in our memories of a bedraggled man on a street corner with a sign that says, the end is near. John comes as a reformer, calling his fellow Jews to turn back to God. The message is short and sweet in our record. We have no whole sermons of John anywhere, but to preach a baptism of repentance from the forgiveness of sin, John's message first pointed people to realize and face the reality of sin in their lives. As one writer in a Christian magazine said within the last couple of years, in order to get people saved, sometimes you first have to get them lost. People need to admit that they're sinners, and in the comfort of our community, churches, and our lifestyles, we forget sometimes just how much we need Jesus. It's only then that repentance will happen. That's a reality for us as well. Most of us are so self-satisfied, so culturally bound to our ideas of religion and spirituality that we don't see the sin in our own lives, so don't or won't see the need to repent. But we can't be saved if we don't know we've sinned. That's the first step. The second step is to be sorry for our sins against God and against one another. Again, we struggle with that because we're mostly self-indulgent, self-satisfied, and self-righteous. We have good reasons for our positions or our behavior and excuses for ourselves and for others, or so we think. I wonder how all of our rationalization will stand before the throne of the holy God. We learn how to overlook the sin in ourselves. We rationalize our behavior, or we point to others who obviously need more forgiveness than we do. John's milieu was not so different because people have not changed much in thousands of years. Only our settings have changed. We're all in need of a revival at the river. In Mark 1, 5 to 6, it says, all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. Well, this was quite an event, wasn't it? This revival at the river where it says all of Judea and Jerusalem were going to see him. They were being baptized by him in the river Jordan. And especially important, they were confessing their sins. Remember what I just said? In order to be saved, you have to first be lost. You need to know that there is sin that needs to be confessed and forgiven in our lives, in your life. Well, that's what was happening in John's time. Now, as he was there along the Jordan, he was the most popular thing going. He was the rock star, the superstar of the day. And everyone went to see what this crazy man wearing camel's hair and a leather belt and who ate bugs and honey dripping, or bee drippings, I guess you could say. You know, this was his diet. He was dependent upon the Lord. He was not settling in to common culture. He came as a prophet. He came as someone called by God for a very special reason. And at this revival at the river, people were being forgiven because they were confessing their sins. And God says in his word, we have it written in John, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But as popular as John was, he knew it wasn't about him. He knew this wasn't John's show, this was God's message that he was sharing. It's not about John, and John knew that. John said this in Mark 1, 7 and 8. He preached saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Well, see, John knew it wasn't about him. Even though it sounds like in the Gospels that he was the hottest ticket in town, which he was for a while, as all of Judea and Jerusalem were being baptized by him, he knew his successor was on the horizon. But even more, John knew that he would be followed by the Mighty One. John appeared as someone weak and dependent. The one who would follow him would be one who had power and who had authority, who had majesty, and who was holy. Well, John knew it wasn't him that was so important. Before the one to come, he was barely the lowest form of a house servant. Humbly, John proclaimed that his part, regardless of his popularity, was a very small part of the story of salvation. People could come to John and be baptized upon their repentance, but they need to trust God to forgive them according to the Old Testament promises. But something more was coming. The one who could offer the life-changing encounter with the Holy Spirit. That's when Jesus showed up. And in Mark, there's very little about the conversation of the encounter of Jesus and John, because Mark, in his story, wants to always get to the next part of the story. You know, so often in the Gospel of Mark, you read the words, and then, or some similar thing. But here in Mark 1:9, what we have recorded is simply this. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Well, that's a pretty complicated statement, isn't it? Doesn't say anything about John's speaking to Jesus saying, why did you come to me to be baptized? I need you to baptize me. It doesn't have any of that in it. It doesn't even have Jesus saying this is necessary for the time. In the Gospel of Mark, it simply says this happened. But you know, this wasn't your everyday baptism. This wasn't the same experience that John had with all the others that came. For all of the others that came needed God to be their forgiver, their redeemer, their hope. All those promises of the Old Testament that say, if you repent and turn from your sins, it says in Jeremiah, that he will forget those sins. Now, there's more to this story because all of this is in the name of what Jesus did for us. Even the Old Testament promises are reliant upon Jesus' sacrifice. But for John, as I said, this wasn't your everyday baptism. This wasn't the experience that John had with everyone else. When John baptized Jesus, something new happened. Because the heavens opened and the Spirit comes to rest upon Jesus. John didn't experience that with everyone else. John didn't experience the heavens opening. John didn't experience what we're going to read in a moment about how this happened. Verse 10 simply said that John saw the heavens being torn open. Something interesting is going on. Something powerful is going on as the heavens are torn open and the Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove. But this Spirit that rests on Jesus is simply a confirmation of what God is at work doing. As the Spirit rests upon him, God is giving a voice of approval of his Son. This is the time when Jesus is prepared to set out on his own mission, on his own message as the Messiah, beginning with the same repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, but holding the kingdom inside who he was. And when he went to the river, John saw the heavens opened. John saw the Spirit descending upon Jesus like a dove. John saw that this is the mighty one that he had prophesied, that God had led him to see, that he knew was the answer to all of his own ministry and work. Now, what is it like to be the hottest ticket in town and yet know that it's not about you? What's it like to know that one is coming who will do more than you had ever thought? Now, for John the Baptizer, he knew his role was important, but he knew God was at work doing so much more. He was a road grader, in a sense. Make straight the paths of the Lord. And now, here came the majesty from on high. In the form of a man, in the form of someone who went and was baptized by John, but now things were different. And in this event of the heavens being opened and the dove descending upon Jesus, John hears God the Father bless Jesus the Son. It's recorded in verses 10 and 11. And when he came up out of the water, immediately John saw the heavens being torn open, the Spirit descending upon him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." God the Father blessed his Son as he was set out upon his ministry, that in just less than 3 years, probably, is the timeline, would end with Jesus on the cross, Jesus in the tomb, and Jesus finally ascended back to his place in heaven. But this record of Jesus' baptism that Mark shares is not just a reminder of our own need to face our sins and repent and be